Any other questions at all?
Yes, how much combined, how much of the bottom is going to be lost for fishing?
Oh, what that was, we had that.
Hopefully, we're going to minimize.
Yep.
Right? Depending on the design, you saw the three designs, and they each have a different anchoring system. The tension leg ones tend
to be
a smaller design.
This is
a more narrow.
The one right here.
The mooring goes straight down here, and this one's more a catenary mooring that's going to angle out.
And the other one, too,
angled. Right. Yeah. So, there's a couple things that depend on, right? One is the overall size and the anchoring load needed, the design, and the water depth. So, as part of our, as we get closer to the design phase, we will have to develop a site plan that shows how those anchors would be located.
Yeah.
And what we believe is that we'll end up marking those anchors where they are. They'll be clearly marked. And what we've talked about in the public hearings is having an exclusion area around the device itself, the device being the center, of roughly 500 feet. And that was a target based on other wind energy projects that said, you just don't want boats in that circle because you got blades swinging above and all that kind of stuff, right? But as far as the anchors and mooring lines, we feel that if they're clearly marked, if they're heavy enough with the cables and chains, that if folks want to fish right up next to them, that's going to be up.
The thing you've got to handle then.
Right. That, but we're willing to let the fishermen figure out if they want to do that. We're not going to restrict them. We'll know where they clearly are marked. If they're in a triangular position and they're spread out, if folks want to fish around, then we'll let them make that decision.
Bob, do you want to, or Jake, do one of you want to talk about the deployment periods for this? Because these also aren't going to be out year-round. So the fishing schedule out there may not be affected.
Certainly, we've talked about the wind wave regime and trying to get that. Our initial ideas in talking, and Chimbro is most likely the contractor that's going to do the deployment. So I think that our conversations right now are trying to deploy in the June-July time period and trying to be out of the water in the fall, unless we really do need to have a winter over period of time. But generally speaking, we're looking at that June to late October.
And it's up to you. I mean, this is all a done deal. It's up to you guys whether you do that or not. It wouldn't go up to vote or anything like that.
No, it won't go to vote. I mean, it's not just up to us. It's up to all the state agencies and our consultation with the zone council and the municipality.
Yeah. So this is just a test we have to do.
Permanently, no.
Oh.
No.
There was some talk about.
But if you're testing, there is a potential space for someone.
The site, once the site is designated as a test area, it's under the legislation of the test area site. So, I guess this is up for clarification from DEP or conservation, but my understanding is once it's designated as a test site, as long as it's a test site, it's not a commercial site.
Okay.
So we're not evaluating whether this site is the best site to collect wind energy from.
Mm-hmm.
We're using this site to evaluate whether this technology is the best technology to collect wind energy. So I guess that's
a right to say that basically it would have to go through the delisting process. It would basically have to go through the state where the state would choose to delist it as a test site, and at that point it could become commercially viable.
Right.
And if they decided to make it commercially viable, would Mahegan even have a voice in that? Or will it be just like these test sites that they said, this is it, and this is your test site, and like it or lump it?
My current understanding is that under the existing state laws for submerged land leasing, under existing state federal laws for putting things in the water, whether it's cableways or other types of anything, that you do have to apply through the existing permits that are there now for a commercial wind turbine farm would have to go through those existing permitting processes. And most of those processes do have some consultation with the Lobster Zone Council or the FERC or the municipality. That currently, we know that there's been some draft legislation, and it hasn't been made public yet, to help clarify that for wind energy projects specifically, which is to better bench roadmap the permitting process for a commercial site.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest is that, and Suzanne and I will be tracking that legislation, we'll let you know when it's there. One, once it's out, we'll make sure you see it. Two, if you have concerns about what the public input to that would be, able to the public process.
I think probably the biggest difference with what that whole process is about is the time frame. The deal with these test site things is that the legislature mandated the state to deal with this before December 15th. So there was a limited amount of time where all of this had to get decided and the public consultation had to happen, and they were limited because the state legislature made them do that. If this were a commercial project, there would be no limit set to say you have to kind of get through this quickly. And what most people say is that that process could easily take 2 years. You look at Massachusetts, and they're trying to do case when it's been
9 years.
So, I think that part of it is that this moves so quickly because the legislature mandated it, but there's not going to be any sort of expedited review or anything for anything beyond what TechSite.
Now, were you saying that there is, the bill would be to this new bill that you're talking about hasn't gotten anywhere yet, would be to allow commercial wind farming in state waters?
My understanding is what it does is it clarifies the existing rules for permitting and placing things in state waters, specifically addressing wind energy.
So it would sort of add that onto the...
Yeah.
You know, Susie, I think this is the scary part, because this is too vague, and vague is scary, and you get financial interest. You mentioned Bath Ironworks. You get all this money or interest into it, and you think that the 50 citizens here going, we don't like this, we don't like this, is just going to go away? You know, that's the, I mean, even though it's a test site, you get a lot of interest, and then you said, well, the decision whether to keep it or not keep it is up to the DEP and the da 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 da. That's not that encouraging. You know, that's,
right.
You're pretty powerful. And then you have money involved in that also.
I think we do, but if this is a DOE,
I think we have no say.
No,
right.
Yeah. Well, I think we won't have anything.
That's why it's a really long time.
Nobody's questioning you guys.
No,
we know you're well intentioned,
yeah.
But things get done and money gets involved in there and politics gets in there and it's not so clean cut and nice. It's just not.
You have a question?
I just wanted to clarify what you're looking at having happen, which is a 3-year thing where these turbines would be there for several months a year with a possible winter over. They're not there all the time. And then a possible renewal of that. Is that what you're currently looking at? But they're not going to be there all year round. And then after that, as far as you know, they're going away.
Yeah, right now, our funded project and the timeline we had up here goes through the beginning of 2012. Okay, that is when, my scope of work, which is to do the tank testing, the design, get it out there, gather the data, and get this work done. 2012, beginning of 2012, that'll be done. Essentially, we might have to go for maybe another month or two deployment or whatnot. But at that point, that's over. What happens beyond that is something that we haven't. I mean, that's not part of the scope of work from DOE right now.
But let me speculate on that, because I want to make sure that you understand that if we're going to get to the place where there is an opportunity to generate a grid-scale electric generation in the Gulf of Maine, you know, starting with maybe 200 megawatts or so. Then the next increment after the scale, we use the scale model for the data, is to design a commercial scale unit that might be in the 3 to 5 megawatt size, right? And part of what we have to try to use this information to design for is, one, designing for the Gulf of Maine conditions. Two is to optimize the design so that Maine companies can fabricate it, Maine companies can install it, Maine companies can maintain it. The economics of this are need to be solved such that the cost of installation and the cost and the amount of energy generated get electric prices that are competitive. And if we can't make it competitive, it won't happen. Right, so to getting to that commercial scale unit and validating that as a viable alternative is really a stepping stone to getting to the grid scale. So it may be that if we're successful at this stage, we would then try to design and build a commercial scale, a single commercial scale unit that could be deployed at the test site. It may be that the water's not deep enough in the test site and we have to look at federal waters. Those are things, but you know, there is a possibility, there's a good chance, and I mean, if we're successful, there will be a commercial scale unit tested there, but again, it would be a limited duration.
But the reassuring part right now is that there's so many checks and balances in between now and then that have to take place, that even for people to know whether or not they can even be there in the first place, which I feel very reassured in that, I mean, if any of these variables aren't met, then it can't go forward just blazingly forward. It has to be met.
You're talking about the commercial.
No, I'm talking about the testing. I mean, the testing can't even go in unless, you know, the sounds met, the birds met, everything that everybody seems very concerned about. There's a lot of checks and balances in between that even the testing mechanism is being met. So, I don't know.
But something you think 5 or 6 years from now, what you discovered is a gold mine.
Right.
And that oil has gone sky high or it's stopped coming through. And the state says, sorry, Mohegan, or Mohegan, whether you like it or not, you don't have to put 10 towers up there. I guess that's, I mean, or the East Coast, not even Maine.
Well, what? It may not be in Maine. It may not be in the East Coast. It may be someplace else. You know, I mean, there's you can't predict too much, but and that's our commitment to the folks. As long as we're running the test site, we're going to try to keep you involved in as much information as possible. An example of what's happened down in the Delaware and New Jersey is Fisherman's Energy was formed. And you know, the fishermen themselves have been looking at how to participate in the commercial development of that.
I was going to ask
you, are you going to employ any people from Mohegan? Yeah, I think that our goal during this test period is to look at ways to use local resources to support the test program. As we get the monitoring plans put together, as if there's the need to have monitoring equipment on site on the island, that's so the test site, we'd like to have some folks on the island to be employed to maintain and take care of that. At the same time, we'll look at how to use the local boats to service either the micrositing or initial stages of that, as well as any of the maintenance.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it
kind of goes back a couple.
Sure.
It came up in an earlier discussion maybe months ago. So if you have these test turbines out there and it's generating energy but it's not going anywhere, I don't know much about electricity, but so where is it going?
You can, what you could do, a couple ways you can handle it. One of the easiest ways is for it not to generate electricity. It's spinning and you put a resistance on it, so that it's got torque, and it's got basically, it's doing the same thing as generating electricity. It's just not passing magnets past coils and generating electricity.
So you're just monitoring the
sort of the mechanical
resistance.
Right. Yeah, it's really the resistance and the rotation and monitoring that and its interaction with the water. So that's probably the
spirit. So it's not like.
Again, engineer safety, not hurt or kill anybody, and that's one of the things in the design. That
well, it wasn't so much that was more like a Hollywood thing, but more like I don't know much about electricity, but you know when you're releasing energy into the water. You know, what are you affecting? And so, in my question,
like vibrations.
Vibrations or waves or whatever, and the sea life and the bottom and whatever, and everything around us. Not so much as people touching the water.
In the hearing, somebody asked, where is the electricity going that you're generating?
Mm-hmm.
And the person in your position said, that's a good question, I don't know. And that was a little weird.
He's a geologist.
You may have said this, but I might have missed it. Is it one turbine that you want to test, or are you going to have more than one that's testing at the same time?
Well, in terms of what we're going to build, it depends on when we get to the point of picking our design and picking, making sure we got the right scale. Is it a 100 kilowatt scale? Is it a 10 kilowatt scale? Is it where is it? Then pricing it out to make sure that we can build it with the budget we have. We're confident we've got enough money for one. Looking at it, we might have enough money for two.
But you prefer to have more than one to get separate.
And it wouldn't necessarily be deployed at exactly the same time. I'd love to have two or three because then deployed and gathering data at various points because then I've got more data to validate models.
Right.
But
I just wasn't clear. I didn't know how many.
Okay. Would they be together? Would they all be around the side? Or would they be different places around the island if you had more than one?
Well, everything would be within the test site. You've got to stay within the test site. And whether we're be at the same time or at different times, we don't know.
And there is some, depending on the size of the turbines and the blade diameters, there's some spacing that you need to maintain so you don't shadow. Very good question.
It is. I mean, there are other questions over here?
Well, I just had an observation. I think the concern that some folks have talked about Monhegan not really having too much of a say in things. They mean get consulted and so on, but having some very special vulnerabilities. Tourism is obviously a very vital part of the economy here, and all that. And that's why a few months ago, God, it is a few months ago now, I filed that lawsuit in Knox County Court, is simply to ensure, ask the judge to make sure that all of Monhegan's issues are looked at, and that when a project gets looked at, that you look at all the different laws that might apply and make sure that it's standing by them. And so, because it didn't seem that way from this very short, permitting thing, thus we filed this. And simply, it's not suing for money or anything, simply saying, Your Honor, take a look at this and make sure that Monhegan's getting the full respect it should be getting, the full treatment it should be getting. That's it. And if anybody would like a copy of the case, I've got a few of them here.
Okay.